Church, pray with me. Lord, I thank you, God, that we have another opportunity right here to be able to open your word, open the Bible, and see the great treasures that you have for us today. Lord, it's amazing that this book, which is actually a compilation of 66 books, was written across time, was written on different continents, written in different languages, but yet it all points to you, O God. Your Spirit is all over every single word of its pages, Lord. And Lord, because of that, even though this book was finished some 2,000 years ago, it is so powerful that it speaks to us here today. And so, God, I ask, speak, Lord, the things that you have for us today. Show them to us, God. Let us see you. Let us know you more today than we did yesterday. Bless our time here together, Lord. Amen. Well, I had something amazing happen to me. It's been over the course of a few weeks now that I wanted to share with you. Over the last couple of weeks, I have really been feeling as if God is speaking, that God is speaking to me. Now, the truth is that God always speaks. And so maybe the amazing thing is that I feel like I've heard. I feel like I can hear him speaking. Now, before some of y'all want to call, you know, the loony bin and get me wheeled out of here, before we jump there, just think about this. Our God is all loving. Our God has made a creation and he says it is good. Our God became man in the person of Jesus Christ and calls us his brothers and his sisters. If we believe all of that, which is basic Christian doctrine, then of course God would want to speak to his people. Now, God speaks in many different ways. Let me share with you how he spoke with me. It wasn't that the clouds parted and the angels descended. That would be cool, but that's not what happened. This is what happened to me. A few weeks ago, I got this feeling within me that our next sermon series that we're starting today, that we would have started today, let me phrase it that way, was going to be looking at the Proverbs, looking at practical life application that Solomon teaches from the Proverbs. And it would be a great series. It's not a bad series. It's one that we're probably going to do sooner or later. But I just felt like God was saying, not yet. That he had something else planned for us today. And so when you get that feeling, when you get that sense, you pray and you say, okay, God, so what is it? And I began noticing that different groups of people around me that I meet with throughout the week, people that don't really even know each other, they're all talking about the same thing. Various groups here within the church would reach out to me and talk about the same thing. My Christian friends outside of the church, pastors of other churches, they would talk about the same thing. My friends who don't believe in God would talk about the same thing with me, the same questions. And so this is what I feel like God has for us for the next few weeks. And it is this, that God wants to draw us into a deeper relationship with him. Now, that's always true, church. There's no point in time where that's not true, but it feels especially heightened right now. And so the series that we had planned, we'll put it off for another day. But we're going to look at what does it mean to draw deeper into a relationship with Jesus? What does it mean to have a deeper experience with God? You know, my friends that do not follow Jesus, that do not believe in him, they want a deeper experience of God. You see, the reason for that is, as the Bible tells us, God has put eternity in our hearts, in everyone's heart. And we all seek to fill that. We all seek to meet that need within us. Sometimes we meet it through the scriptures, through God himself. That's the only way to meet that need. Sometimes we try to meet that outside of the gospel. But the point is that everyone has that same longing, that same desire for fulfillment, that same need to be a part of something greater, to be called up into something greater than themselves. So that's what I want us to look at for today and for the next few weeks. You know, God, He draws us deeper. He wants us to be deeper in our relationship with Him. And the reason why is because God is not primarily interested in what you've done or haven't done. God is not primarily interested in what you're going to do for Him. You see, those views that sometimes we have of God, they're distorted. And oftentimes they come from our parents. You know, as a child, if you were raised in a household where if you were to mess up, your mom or your dad would start yelling at you. And then as you grow and you read in the Bible where it says God is our Father, it's easy to say, well, if I fall out of line, God's angry at me. But that's not the view of God. That's a distorted view of God. As a side note, to the parents in this room or to anyone who interacts with children, ask yourself, how are you showing God to your children? Because they're watching. And whatever they learn and see in you is what they're going to apply to God. And that's a different sermon for a different day. But it's something to be mindful of. But for today, let's realize this, that at times we can feel distant from God. You know, it is common as we go through life, it is common to have seasons where we feel disconnected from Jesus, where we say, well, I used to have a great relationship with God, but today I just don't feel it. Or maybe you're here and maybe you've never had a deep relationship with Jesus. God's invitation is the same. He says, come. Come and be with me. And so if we can feel distant from God, the question for today is this: how do we restore that connection? Another way to phrase this is, how do we abide in Jesus? How do we remain in Christ? Jesus doesn't walk this earth like He used to so many years ago. So how can we remain in Him? The primary way that we abide in Jesus is through prayer. Remain in a spiritual walk with Christ. It's only possible through prayer. You see, prayer is vital for a deep relationship with Jesus. And this is what Jesus taught His disciples when He did walk this earth. What we're going to see today in the Scriptures, we're going to see Jesus teaching His followers. Now, at this time, they're gathered. They're having their Last Supper. This is right before Jesus is arrested, right before He goes to be crucified. This is after Jesus has shared communion with His closest friends. This is after Jesus has donned the towel of a servant and washed the feet of His followers, and telling them that they are to serve each other likewise. This is after Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus, has left to go and to do his thing. And Jesus tells His disciples, I'm going to leave you. Then He says, but I will not leave you as orphans. He says, I will be with you. So how does Jesus remain with His followers? How is it that this conversation that happened some 2,000 years ago shows us today how Jesus remains with us and how we can remain with Him? Open your Bibles if you have them. We're going to be in John chapter 15 today. Starting in verse 1. If you don't have your Bible with you, that's okay. It'll pop up on the screen momentarily. And in verse 1, Jesus is speaking here. If your Bible is in red, that just simply means Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. You see, Jesus here, he's making a simple matter-of-fact statement. If you are with me, you can bear much fruit. If you remain in me. But if you try to go it alone, if you try to live life without me, he says, then you're going to be as useful as a branch that withers on the ground. That's not really a threat of any kind. That's just simple matter-of-fact statement. It is what it is. Amen. We're going to agree that's confirmation. That's not... That's how we're going to interpret that today. Now, a couple of things I want you to notice here before we move on. That Jesus is connecting remaining. Some of your translations say abiding. It's the same thing. To live in, to dwell in. Jesus is connecting remaining to bearing fruit. Bearing fruit is just simply how the Bible speaks of doing good works. You see, as followers of Jesus, we don't do good works so that we can remain in Christ. We do good works because we already remain in Christ. You see the difference there? That difference is vital. And it's what distinguishes Christianity as a faith from so many other faiths out there in the world. So many other people are trying to earn their way towards God, that are hoping their good deeds outweigh their bad deeds so that they can be with God. Jesus says, I've taken care of that. He says, now come. Come and be with me. And then everything we do is just simply a response to the love of Christ. In fact, the Bible says that the best deeds we could ever do without Jesus, like a pile of filthy rags, not good for anything. But with Jesus, then all things are possible. You see, it's Jesus that makes all the difference. So how do we abide in Christ? What does Jesus say? Let's pick it up in verse 7. Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Now remain in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete, may be full. Again, Jesus is connecting remaining with praying, with bearing much fruit. They all go together. You can't have one without the others. And notice here that Jesus is saying in verse 8, it is to God's glory. Not only that you bear much fruit, but right before that, it talks about prayer. It is to God's glory that he answers your prayer. You see, when we pray, church, we don't have to try to strong-arm God into doing what we want him to do. We don't have to try to manipulate him. We don't have to try to, if I just said the right words, as if there's a secret code or a secret formula to prayer. That's not it at all. God delights to answer prayer. It makes him so happy. His face shines. That's what glory means. It makes his face shine brightly to answer the prayers of his people. John, the same person who wrote this gospel, he writes later that this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. That when we pray according to God's will, that's important. That here, we'll talk about this in just a minute, that here Jesus is saying, if you pray and remain in me and I remain in you, then we can have confidence to know that God hears and that God answers the prayer. Now, it's not as if God is some sort of a cosmic vending machine that you go up, you offer your prayer, you push in the code, and out at the bottom pops the answer you're looking for. Not at all. The history of the world shows that that's not the case. You see, unanswered prayer is a struggle that we all experience. Now, this is a struggle that we're going to dive in deeply here in just a couple of weeks as we continue this series looking at prayer with God. But let it suffice to say for this, that if we abide in Jesus, if Jesus abides in us, that means his words are in us. That means that we have the heart of Christ. That means we see the world with the eyes of Christ. That means we listen to people with the ears of Christ. That means we understand the world through the mind of Christ. If Jesus abides in us and we pray out of that mindset, that's the prayer that Jesus loves to answer. And that is how we continue to abide in Christ. And so if we're called to abide through prayer, a question I have is, why is prayer so important? You know, all throughout the history of the church, there's been all kinds of people that would spend all kinds of time, hours, some of them, every single day in prayer. And it's easy to think, well, shouldn't they be out like ministering to people, or shouldn't they be out helping somebody? Why is that time in prayer so important? Well, the answer is that no relationship, think about this on a human level, no relationship is possible without regular communication. And that you will not grow closer to anyone if you don't talk with them. You know, for example, if you're here and you're married, you will not grow closer to your wife or to your husband if you don't speak with them. Or with a close friend, you will not grow closer with that friend if you don't talk to them, if you don't return their phone calls. In fact, how many of you have friends that you used to be really, really close with years ago, and then you didn't do anything that upset them, and they didn't do anything that upset you, but over time, you just kind of drift apart. You know, they live in one city, you live in a different one. They're doing one thing with their family, you're doing something else, and your lives just kind of drift outwards. For so many people, their relationship with God is the same thing. That one time I used to be close with God. One time I used to pray. One time I used to read the Bible. I even got baptized and did stuff at the church. It was wonderful. But over time, God and I just kind of drifted apart. And it's not because someone makes a decision to walk away from God. It's because they get up one morning and they just simply forget to pray. And then a few days go by and they haven't prayed. And then a few weeks go by and on a Sunday morning they realize that they're so tired from Saturday. So they figure, I can miss church once. And then a few months go by and they realize they haven't been around God's people in so long. Which, if you want to grow closer to God, it is through God's people. You cannot grow closer with God if we reject God's people. They go together. And so over time, people just drift away from God. And if that's you here today, if you look back on your life and you realize that years ago, a couple years ago, a couple of decades ago, you had a close relationship with Jesus, but you don't feel it today, Jesus still offers that same invitation. He says, come. Be with me. Come. Or if you're here today and if you've never had a close relationship with Jesus, if you don't even know what I mean when I say that, Jesus has the same invitation. Come. Maybe you've been putting that off because you were hurt in your past somewhere and you're mad at God because of it. It's okay. He'll soothe your wounds. He'll give you peace in the midst of your anger or anxiety. But he says the same thing. Come. Be with me. And we do that through prayer. That's how we respond. You see, Jesus invites us, but he doesn't drag us to come in and be with him. And sometimes people get this picture that God is dragging people into heaven, kicking and screaming. That's not it at all. He gives the invitation. And the question is up to you. How will you respond? Will you abide? Will you remain in Jesus or not? Will you seek him through prayer or not? That's your choice. And God is so gentle that he lets us choose. And so if we are going to respond to the invitation of Christ through prayer, how shall we pray? Well, the big answer to that question is this: pray with intentionality. Give thought to prayer. Otherwise, it probably won't happen. You know, if your prayer life is a nonchalant, thank you, God, for this food, and then when you go to bed at night, thank you, God, for this day, that's something. That's better than nothing. But you're not going to experience a deep, vibrant relationship with Jesus through that prayer time alone. You see, prayer, it's supposed to look like a conversation between a loving son and a loving father. Sometimes it looks a little bit different. Victor, come up here, Victor. Uh-oh, is right. This is my friend, Victor, even though he's a Yankees fan. We love him anyways. You already said you would. You can't change your mind now. Come on up here. Victor has agreed, I agreed, that Victor would help me to try to demonstrate what our prayer life looks like between a father, a much older father.
Okay, now you're pushing it.
Sorry, buddy. And a son. So imagine this, all right? There's dad, he's standing over there. And imagine your son walks in and says, Dad, my car needs help. All right, the windows are down, the rain's getting in, all kinds of stuff's happened. Can you take care of that for me?
Yeah.
Oh, another thing. I'm having some issues. Okay. I'm not going to go into detail. You understand, right? You just take care of that. Oh, one last thing. There's a promotion available at work. Okay. And if I get that, it comes with a nice fat raise. I'll be able to get me a good car, be able to do all kinds of fun stuff with it.
Yeah.
And I'll help out people with the money too. Sure, why not? But if you can give me that promotion, that'd be wonderful. Is that how a father and son should communicate? Where's the relationship there? Thank you, Victor. You did wonderful. Appreciate you. Go have a seat. Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Good,
you did good. No relationship between a child and parent will grow if that's the extent of the communication. But yet so often, how do we approach prayer? We say, God, would you do this and this and this for me? Thanks. Gotta go. And then we're left wondering, why do we feel distant from God? You see, a part of prayer is listening. A part of prayer is simply sitting quietly, quieting our mind and our hearts, and listening for God to see what He might say. See, out of that, church, came this series that we're beginning today. Now, as we move forward, we're going to talk more about listening, specifically next week. We're going to ask the question, how do you know if that's God speaking or last night's pizza? And that's a good question to ask, just saying. Today, I want us to focus on our end of that conversation. There's a model of prayer that I use personally, and it helps me greatly. That keeps me focused on God. That kind of helps me walk through some various steps of prayer. And it's summarized in the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. This is a very common one. Many of you have probably heard it before, and that's great. See, the first thing I do when I pray is I want to spend some time adoring God. That A stands for adoration. And what that means is you're simply just taking a moment and you're recounting to yourself, you're talking out loud even, and you're saying, oh God, you are good. You are majestic. You are wonderful. You're reminding yourself of who God is. If you don't know what to say right there, look at the Psalms. Look at Psalm chapter 8. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Just spend a moment recounting how good God is. And as you're focused on how good our God is, your mind will naturally recall how good we're not. That C stands for confession. Take a moment and confess your sins to God. You see, our sin, it's like the elephant in a room that keeps the conversation from happening. And let me encourage you for just a moment. That sin that you've been hiding forever, God already knows. In fact, He knows more about it than you do. In fact, all the sins you've forgotten, God noticed those too. And so don't spend all day trying to think of every bad thing you've ever done in your life. You'll never leave. But think, what's on my mind? And confess that to God. And don't do this. Don't say, yeah, God, I messed up. Sorry. And move on. Don't do that. Take a sin out as if it's a ball out of a bag. Say, God, today I got angry. I yelled at my wife. I yelled at my husband. I yelled at my children. And I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry, God. And then realize that God forgives you of every sin. And thank Him for it. That T is thanksgiving. You see, as you've got this sin and as you've talked about it, as you've dwelled on it for just a second, cast it. As the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. Remember, God's love is so big that no individual sin can stand in the way. And so we can confess it. We can have peace after that. And we can watch as God takes it and chucks it right out of here. And thank God. Thank Him not only for His forgiveness. Thank Him for His gifts. Thank Him that you have a job. Thank Him that you have a place to stay. Thank Him that you have food to eat. Thank Him you have people that love you. Thank Him that you have a church that you can belong to. Take a moment and thank God for the wonderful blessings that He's given you. And then if you're like me, after I thank God for a little bit, for all the wonderful things He's done, I want more. You know, it's like yesterday, we were with my grandma, celebrating her 97th birthday. Man, that's impressive. And we had this carrot cake. And you better believe, after all my kids, all six of them, had their piece of carrot cake, they all had the same thought on their mind. I want more of that. And no one chided them and says, oh, you're greedy. Well, how dare you ask for more cake? None of that happens at all. You see, when we see God bless us with good gifts, we naturally say, God, would you give me more? And that brings glory to God. That makes Him happy. He wants to move within your life. And so this is where you ask Him. This is where you show Him the different ways in your life where you want to see Him, where you need to see Him. This is what we commonly think of when we think of prayer. But as we can see, it's only one little portion of it. Oh, I forgot to say the word. It's supplication. Good job on the PowerPoint. He's sticking with me. I like that. Supplication is just a big fancy Bible word that says, God, I need you. Help me out. It's where we ask God for the gifts. And through this sequence, that keeps my mind, my heart, it keeps me focused on Jesus throughout. Now, if you're here and if you have a healthy, vibrant, daily prayer life, praise God and keep going. But if you're here and if you realize, I don't have that prayer life, but I need it, this is something I invite you to do today, not tomorrow. Anybody ever given up soda tomorrow? Anybody ever given up cigarettes tomorrow? I mean, come on. Start today. And if you haven't developed a prayer life, take a short amount of time. Take 1 minute and adore God. Take 1 minute and confess whatever sin comes to mind to God. Take 1 minute and thank God. Take 1 minute and ask God to move within your life. It just takes 4 simple minutes to get started. And I say that because I'm confident that as you begin this journey of prayer and as you keep coming back to it day after day after day, you're not going to be able to spend just 1 minute adoring God. You're not going to be able to spend just 1 minute seeing all the ways that we fall short of God's beautiful, beautiful standard. You're not going to be able to spend just 1 minute thanking God of the wonderful things He's done in your life. You're not going to be able to spend just 1 minute talking about all the different ways that you want to see God move in this world. And so those 4 minutes become 8, and they become 16, and on and on and on it goes. Until after a little bit, not only do you have a set aside time in the mornings or in the evenings, whenever it is, to pray, but then throughout the day as you're driving to work, you're thanking God for the wonderful things He's given you. As you're at work, you're asking God to move with your coworkers. You're asking God to move if you're a teacher. You're asking God to move amongst your students, that He would do great wonders there. On your way home from work, you're confessing the different ways that you messed up at work. And at evening, as you're with your family, you're adoring God as He is made visible through your children or your spouse or those around you. It becomes a throughout the day thing. Church, Jesus invites you to a deeper relationship with Him. Ken, would you come up? He gives you the invitation, and then He waits to see how will you respond. The choice is yours. Will you step in to that relationship with Jesus? Will you reach out to begin a prayer life, to be able to have that relationship with Jesus? If not, He's not going to force you. He'll wait and He'll keep waiting. He's a patient God. But if so, if you want to pursue Christ, pursue Him through prayer. Prayer isn't everything. There's other stuff too. But you definitely can't pursue Christ without prayer. You can't have a relationship with someone you won't talk with. Not talk at, like I did to Victor, but talk with. So what I want us to do, we have a few minutes. I want us to set aside a few minutes right now, and I want us to take that first step together. Now, if you're here, and if you've settled within your heart that maybe you're just not ready, you're not ready to take that first step in prayer, that's okay. But I am going to ask you that you honor the sacredness of this moment. I'm just going to ask you to remain sitting quietly. But if you're here, and if you want to step in to a relationship with God, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 1,000th time, and let's pray together. And I want us to walk through that model. Will you bring that model back up, Drew? Thank you. I'm going to ask you to pray, but close your eyes. Pray within your mind, pray within your heart, and I'll guide us. And let's take a moment and let's walk through each one of these together. I'll guide us kind of as we go. But take just a moment right now, within your spirit, or maybe out loud to yourself, take a moment and adore God. Recount all the wonderful things that He is. God, you are beautiful. God, you are holy. God, you are amazing. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Lord, nothing can stand against you. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars and the galaxies and the planets, and how it seems like every 5 minutes they're finding a new galaxy. When I consider all of this, God, which you have set in place, what is man? What is humanity that you are mindful of us? Who are we, Lord, that you care for us? But you have made us a little lower than the angels and crowned us with glory and honor. You have made us rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under our feet, oh God. All flocks and herds, all animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, and all that swim in the paths of the sea. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now, church, let's transition. Take just a moment and confess. Confess that sin that's been weighing on you to God. Maybe it is anger. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's lust. You're at the swimming pool and you're looking at the men and the women in the wrong way. Take just a moment. I'll remain quiet and confess your sin to God. And we all hear the sirens. Let's stay in this moment, church. As you've taken that sin out, as you've looked at it, and you've recounted it specifically to God, cast it as far as the east is from the west, and thank God. Let's take just a moment and thank God together. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness, God. Lord, we thank you that you give us life and breath and everything, Lord, that everything we could ever need or desire is within you. That every joy, perfect joy, greatest joy imaginable is in you. Lord, I thank you, God, for the people you've put in my life. I thank you, God, for this church, the wonderful church that it is. Lord, I thank you that you continue to bless us. You continue to walk with us. Take just a moment and thank God for what he has done in your life. Church, let's take just a moment and ask God to move in your life where you need to see him move. If that's in your finances, ask God to move in your finances. If that's in your marriage, ask God to move in your marriage. If that's with your children, ask God to move with your children. If that's at your work, ask God to move at your work. If that's at the church, ask God to move at the church. Please, Lord, we want you to move here. But whatever's on your heart, ask God to do great things there. Lord, you know my prayer. God, I pray that those that are without the church, I'm not talking just about Center Point, but about the church, the big church, Lord, would you bring them in? Help them to experience that joy that can only come from being with God's people. Lord, for those that are lost, would you save them, God? Would you give them that great gift of salvation that they might have eternity with you, oh God, eternal life, and not only life after we die, but life here, life now, and life to the full. And Lord, would you help us as this church, help us to minister to those around us, not only those in this neighborhood right outside our doors, Lord, help us to minister to them, but those at our workplaces, those in our neighborhoods, help us to minister to them, God. Lord, for those that are here and they need a miracle in their finances, would you give them one, Lord? For those that are here and maybe they're fighting depression and anxiety, Lord, would you lift them up? For those that are here, Lord, and maybe they're fighting for their marriage, Lord, you are the champion of marriages. Take your stand, God, and draw them together. Lord, I pray for our nation, God, for the great struggles we have as a nation, for the great tragedies that it seems like it's on the news every single day. Lord, we need you. We need you greatly, God. Come, Lord, and move within our lives. And then as we pray, you may have often heard me say, in Jesus' name, all that means is that we are praying as we abide in Christ and as Christ abides in us completely. You see, a prayer in Jesus' name is a prayer in all of who Jesus is. And so, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, in his loving name, his powerful name, his forgiving name, his gracious name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, church, it is time to go and get your children. Please go and pick them up down here. Take this with you, that model that we went through together. Take that with you and use it in your own prayer lives and see if it's a benefit to you. God bless you. Have a good week.